Father, we thank and bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 14, and I'm reading from verse number 8. Acts 14, verse 8, and it reads, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple." Being what? A cripple. "From his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholded him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed." Say amen. "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked." Hallelujah. Now, I'll be giving the last opportunity after the service for Mr. Tete to come and say a few things on behalf of the disability community. But this is a very strange scripture, because from the day that this guy was born, he never walked. And I'm sure that as he was growing, he saw his age mates walking, running, playing football, basketball, volleyball, cricket. So I'm sure, even though I was not there, he might have asked his mom, Adironke, he might have asked her, "Why is it that I don't have legs like those people? Why is it that people are running it and I'm crippled?" And the mother might have told him that, "This is the way you were born. And this is the way you will be forever." I'm sure the mother might, because let's say that the boy was 17 years or whatever, it means that for 17 or 18 or 20 years, he's never walked before. And the mother drummed it in his ear that, "Accept the way you have been born, because you will never walk. You will never run like every other person. You can do other things, but jumping, running, dancing with legs is not your portion. But this guy went to a church service and sat at the service. And the Bible says something. Put a scripture there. "And the same heard Paul speak. And Paul steadfastly beholded him and perceiving that he had faith to be ill." Now, the title of my message is "How Faith Works." Say with me, "How Faith Works." And I'm going to preach it in series, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. I said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God is not pleased with your height. God is not pleased with your beauty. God is not pleased with your car, your home, your perfume. God doesn't smell your perfume. God, if you wear a very nice $2,500 perfume, it doesn't move God. What moves God is your faith. So the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Which means that your life must be a life and a walk of faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So what triggers God is not a car you are driving. A beautiful church building does not trigger God. What triggers, what makes God to move and to shake, is your attitude of faith. Your expression of faith. Your walk of faith. Say amen. Yeah. And there are certain things. In the case of this guy, the Bible said he had never walked. You too, even though you are walking, there are certain things you have never done before. You have never married before. You have never been pregnant before. You have never traveled to London before. You have never been to Togo before. You have never been to Nigeria before. Nigeria is just 45 minutes away from you. You've never been there before. So there are also certain things that we are expecting you to have done. You have also never done it before. Because you too, he has never walked before. From birth. And you too, you are 42 years old from birth. You have never been to Togo before. You have never been married before. Your womb is there, but it has never received anything in there before. Your womb is empty and dry. But faith will carry you there. I say your faith will carry you to where or what you have never done before. Faith, even though physically, emotionally, you have not been able to walk to certain areas, and in your mind, you are thinking, I might never go there before, or I will never get there again, or whatever. Your faith will carry you to the impossible grounds. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe. What is it? He said, must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you seek God diligently, he honors your faith. Between now and December 31st, may God honor your faith. May God honor what? Your faith. And when you move or act by faith, what you do is that you trigger something in God. You move God in a way that he has no choice than to honor your faith in action. Faith without works is dead. If you say you have faith and I don't see corresponding action, then it is not faith. It only becomes faith when you move that which you have heard into action. Am I teaching or I'm not teaching? The same heard Paul. And Paul steadfastly beholding him, that he had faith to be healed. So what did Paul behold? Paul behold the attitude, the character, the demeanor of this guy. You can sit in church and we are preaching and you are indifferent. You have never given the word of God a standing ovation. You don't clap, you don't smile, you don't do anything. You are just sitting there. Say whatever you want to say and let's close this service. God will pass you by. The same heard for me that Paul was preaching and everybody heard the message. And this guy also hearing the message challenged his mental faculties because he has been told that he would never walk. But here he is listening to Paul and Paul is saying that, but with God, all things are possible. He's hearing something different. Am I in church? And Paul, put the scripture there. And Paul, perceiving, and Paul, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had, what did he perceive? His perception was the demeanor, the character of this boy listening to him. Said with a loud voice in the middle of the message, stand up on thy feet and walk. Look at it. Said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. The guy leaped and walked. Which means he heard the word of faith and then he decided, as he was commanded, to now move by what he was hearing. And in microseconds, that means that there is a second in the second. Because the guy was sitting down. Now look at me. When Paul shouted and said, "Stand up on thy feet and walk," the guy said that, "Then let me do what I haven't done before. Let me put what I've heard into action. Let me walk by faith." So he leaped. And when he leaped, in microseconds, angels pulled out his legs and he started walking. Now, how long does it take? How many seconds does it take? I'm falling now. How many seconds does it take to leap? Like a second. And in that second, there is also a second in it. So by the time he was sitting, I don't know how to sit here. He was sitting. They said, "Stand up on thy feet and walk." So he decided to act on what he had. And the moment he decided to leap, angels were dispatched in seconds to pull out his legs. When you decide to act on what you are hearing, God has no choice. He has to move into action. This week, this month, next month, something you have never done before, as you decide to put your faith into action, angels will come on assignment. Say, "I hear you, Pastor." For we walk by faith, not by sight. Start that work. Start that business. Move to your site and start building. You have never built before. You have never built a house before, but start it. You don't build with money. You build by wisdom. For by wisdom, a house is built. Start it. Work on it. Move it. There is no police officer anywhere in the world who will arrest you for attempting to do something you have never done before. Now, the boy could have said to Paul, "Paul, I hear you, but my mother said to me that I can never walk. This is my destiny. To be crippled is my destiny." The boy could have said that. But he decided to believe God's word than what the mother had told him or her. Believe God's word than what your husband has told you. Believe God's word than what a friend, a colleague, a teacher has said you can never do. "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." As you are doing it, there is strength for you to succeed. What you couldn't do for the past 7 months, is 7 months? Right? Are we in the seventh month? 10 months, yes. What you couldn't do in the past 10 months, the 3 months left, I see you doing it. I see you moving it. I see you starting it. I see you attempting it. I see somebody proposing to you in the month of October. I see a clot of blood, a small heartbeat in your womb in the month of November. By December, the doctors will declare there are 2 heartbeats in your womb. You have never been pregnant before, but there will be 2 heartbeats, which means that God is giving you double for your troubles. I see you delivering twins. I see you with triplets. There shall be air in your house. Your organized house shall be disrupted by babies. I see your mother-in-law traveling to come and stay with you to bathe the babies. You have never been pregnant before, but a seed will be deposited in your womb. Am I preaching or I'm not preaching? And it doesn't matter how long it has taken. In a microsecond, God will work a miracle that has been impossible to you for so many years. Am I preaching to somebody? The Bible said in Luke 7, I'm doing three scriptures, then we close. Luke 7, the Bible said, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Verse 2, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he will come and heal his servants. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loved our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. Say amen. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. Unto another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Because this guy is a pagan. They drink vodka and whiskey in the palace. They worship idols. There is nothing biblical or spiritual about the palace or the place where he was. And now he was bringing a holy man of God into his camp. And he said, Jesus was not worthy to come unto him. But Jesus, where he is standing, he should just stand there and issue a command. And he knows that his servant to be healed. That means that the man put his faith not only in Jesus, but in the words of Jesus. Say amen. Because for us, the pastor must come to your house, Coco, to come and lay hands on your daughter. The pastor must come, he must use anointing oil, he must lay hands. So that you believe in the physical presence of the pastor, but not in the word of God. Your faith must be in the word. Say the word only. Speak. Because I have been watching you, and I've seen that you cast out demons, you do healings by the words you are speaking. So I don't need you to physically come to my house, but speak the word only. And I know my servant to be healed. And Jesus marveled. What did he marvel at? He didn't marvel at the palace, the man's ranking, whatever. But he marveled at the man's faith. Look at it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. The people who were the people of faith didn't have the kind of faith this pagan had. Because this guy was a pagan worshiper. But he had faith in the word of God. May you not be in church and unbelievers are receiving miracles and you don't still receive because you don't believe. Sometimes your familiarity with God's word, your familiarity with your pastor kills your faith. So that when the pastor says, your daughter is healed. Yeah, I know that. But I want you to come and lay hands. Are you on your way coming? Is pastor coming? But the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So church, let's put our faith not in the man, but in the word. In the word. So that when the pastor is not there, the word abideth forever. The word is always present, continuous. The word is living. The word is power. The word is impregnable. You can never dilute God's word. And God's word will operate in any geographical location, in any atmosphere, during winter, during autumn, during summer, dry season, rainy season. God's word is intact. And its efficacy and its power is on, it's not impregnable. Faith in God's word, not faith in a man. Faith in a man when he is speaking God's word. Right now, our confidence is more in man. That is why some people have a Bible, but they don't read it. They don't hear God. They are hearing man. Their faith is in man. When the prophet comes, when you see that your faith has shifted from the undiluted, unchangeable, impregnable word of God into the life of a man. But your faith must be in the word. And the word can never fail. Your grandmother can fail. Your boyfriend can fail. Your nice husband can fail. But God's word abided forever. Look at the response. Look at the next verse. Put it there. The same scripture. When Jesus finished marveling. Finish the sentence. We've passed there already. For I'm also a man under authority, and I mean, I see soldiers, and I say unto them, go and go it, and to another, come and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Say amen. They found the servant whole that have been sick. It means that the word that came out of the mouth of Jesus performed the miracle, not the very presence of Jesus. His word. His word. Say with me, his word. So what you are reading in your scriptures is the same word of God. Say amen. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say things like, "Interphone, oh, your power for power." Yeah, we thank God. But the power is in the word. It's in the word. And if the church can come back to the word, the church will not fail. But if the church puts her confidence in men, it will fail. That is why when a pastor decides to backslide, don't follow him. When a pastor resigns from the ministry, don't follow him. Stay with God's word. It will never fail. Let me say something. If a pastor's wife decides to leave the pastor, don't follow the pastor's wife. If the pastor decides to leave the wife, don't follow the pastor. Follow God's word. Go where God's word is preached without adulteration. Anytime, after some time, the pastor decides to preach the word of God backwards, leave that pastor. Leave that church. One pastor was saying, everybody get up. Close your eyes. I said, close your eyes. Close your eyes tightly, or else I won't heal you. I won't heal you. I said, close your eyes. I was there. I got tired of closing my eyes. I opened my eyes. And guess, he said, I won't heal you. Once you hear somebody say, I won't heal you, it means that the eye has taken the place of the word of God. May we remove the eye and let the word of God have prominence. Today, that church is no more. The eye was too much. My last scripture for this morning, John 4:46. John 4:46. John 4:46. Okay. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he will come down and heal his son. For he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, and my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus has spoken unto him. The man believed the word. A noble man, very important person, come to my house and minister to my son. And Jesus said, you guys, you only are moved by such word. Go, thy son liveth. And the man believed. Your belief in God's word matters a lot. Your belief. It means that when your pastor is preaching and he's speaking God's word, that is why those who are very active in church, those who receive God's word, those whose attitude are different, always receive miracles. It's important. You hear your pastor say, I decree and declare that the Lord will make a way where there seems to be no way. There shall be a way in the desert. Your desert shall bloom again. They are speaking, and people are receiving. And then you say, well, I've heard these things many, many, many times. You'll be the same. You'll be the same. That is why you must receive the word of God like a child. When you call a 3 or a 4 year old and you say, I am going to London. When I'm coming from London, I will buy you an aeroplane. The child will believe you. Yeah. He thinks that you can go to a shop and buy an aeroplane. So the child will go to, mommy, Uncle Steve said, when he goes to London, he will buy me an aeroplane. He believed it. Now when you arrive, the child, Uncle Steve, where is the aeroplane? Then you tell another lie. The aeroplane is on its way coming. That is why you shouldn't be lying to children, because they believe what you are saying. They believe what you are saying. It's on the plane is on the sea coming. It will come 2025. You are lying. Say the truth to the child. You don't buy planes like that. Don't give promises you can't keep. Don't say things that are not true. Let's all do our best to speak the truth and God's word. Because that one cannot change. Go, your son liveth. And he believed. Let's finish that sentence. And he believed. Look at it. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Next verse. As he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Next verse. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Yesterday, which means that it was more than a whole day travel. The 53, look at it. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed in his whole house. I am going to send the word of God to your house, to your business. This morning, I'm going to make some declaration. Believe it. Look at the hour in which I'm saying it. Tomorrow, about this time, you will see a phanerosis of the word of God in manifestation of what you are believing God for to do. And he believed it. Your belief is important. Your unbelief will keep you at where you are. Your familiarity with the pastor will not bring you any miracle. Am I talking to somebody here? The most killable faith in this world is familiarity. Oh, Reverend Steve, I know him for the past, 25, 20, 30 years. I know where he's going with all this sermon. I know exactly what he's coming to, because this thing, I've heard it before. That spirit of, I know it, I've heard it before, will deny you of the miracle you deserve. You want to hear something very, 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 very strange. There's nothing strange. It's the simple word of God. There's nothing strange anymore. It's the simple word of God. Receive your healing. Receive your deliverance. Receive your breakthrough. And then say, by this time you are married. By this time you have a child. That is the word of God. Believe it. If it doesn't happen this time, believe it when they say it again. Believe it when they say it again. Believe it again and again until it happens. Because at the appointed time, your vision will speak. It will not lie. At the third time, you will see God in action. Say, I hear you. And he believed. And he traveled a whole day. Then he met his servant and said, your son is alive. Then he inquired of them, at what stage? At what time? He said, at the seventh. Is it seventh? Seventh hour. Then the man recollected that this was the same hour Jesus said. So the thing is not coincidental. Some people believe that even if you don't say it, it's going to happen anyway. No. Anything can happen. I said this year, between now and 31st, a lot of people will die. Which is normal. Accident, Christmas accident. But you shall cross over to 2020. You and your household shall cross over. You and your family shall see the year 2025. By the time you are crossing over, may your critical dream come to pass. You will drive a car you didn't buy. Somebody will hand over his house to you that you didn't build. I see somebody proposing to you this year and marrying you next year. I see a baby deposited in your womb this year and deliver it next year. I see you meeting your destiny helper. There is somebody you must meet whose life will change your life. May you meet your Joseph of Arimathea. May you meet your Simon of Cyrene. Any danger that the enemy has planned to you, for you, we cancel those dangers. Any entrapment that somebody has set for you, we cancel those entrapments. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you believe it, give the Lord a mighty shout. You will not die, but you will live to declare the works of the Lord. Any enchantment against you shall not work. Any divination plan against you will foil it. A college of witches and wizards will not stop what God is about to do in your life. Say amen 3 times. 2, 3. Give the Lord a mighty shout. We are about to pray. And the prayer is, what are you believing God before the end of this year? As I teach this faith series, I'm going to teach a lot on faith for the next 6 weeks. May your faith be stirred up. Jeez. May you begin to do what you couldn't do before. Look, Drummond, I'm going to share a testimony with you right now before we pray. Drummond, this program, we had a lot of bills that came through. God brought and blessed us supernaturally. Then Pastor Stanley walked to me and said, Steve, do you know what? I said, what? He said, do you know we don't have money to feed the over 7,000 people who will be coming for the day of help? And the caterers are standing by to receive money from us. This was Stanley told me. And we cannot bring these people and send them hungry. So I said to Stanley, God shall provide food for these people. Okay, are you listening? Yeah. And Stanley came to me and said, Steve, we need to send money to these caterers. They are saying that if they don't see money, they won't cook. That same day, I had a phone call. That same day, I had a phone call from a friend of mine in La Côte d'Ivoire. He said, Reverend Steve, your thought came into my mind. Where are you? I said, I'm on the crusade ground and we are doing crusade. Ah, your crusade. I'll call you again. Then he waited after an hour, then he called me again. You say you are where? I said, I'm on the crusade ground. You know, it doesn't speak good English. I said, I send you money. I send you money. Now, after a while, then the secretary called me and said, Reverend Steve, Mohammed Sandoko has sent you $10,000 on your, he said, on your phone. He said, check your phone. So I checked my phone. The whole thing was in French. I don't understand French. So I came and showed, I said, Stanley, my friend in Ivory Coast has sent us money. He said, so I called my guys, interpret all these things. When they put all together, it was $10,000, 160,000 Ghana cedis. I asked Stanley, how much did you say we needed to feed the people? He said, 150,000 Ghana cedis. Your faith will work for you. For without faith, it is impossible. We didn't have money to feed the people. So they went to the banks and started cashing out the monies. And then it was wired to the various catering companies. And they cooked and they brought it to the grounds. At the 11th hour. Now, I want to use this testimony to tell you that God is coming to you at the 11th hour. Somebody needs a critical intervention. I sent a text to my friend. I said, Mohammed, it's on my phone. I said, you have just fed 7,000 disabled people. They text back, wow. God will wow you this year.
Jesus' name.
This week, this month.
Yes, Lord.
By December.
Jesus.
May God wow you.
Amen.
Say, Father.
This morning,
As I lift my voice to pray, come through for me in my 11th hour. Shall I begin to pray right now?
In the name of Jesus, Father, as we pray this morning, oh God, come through for us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, in our 11th hour, in the name of our Lord Jesus, lift up your voice and pray that God will intervene in your situation, that God will send things around, that God will change your story. In the name of Jesus, Father, come through for us, O God. In the name of our Lord Jesus, Mando Shalamanda, Rekando Sadianta Lamba, Imando Loboko Shalamanda, Remanda Yebekabo Sabranda Baya. Father, let our faith, O God, work for us in the name of Jesus. As we believe in the word of God, let there be a supernatural turnaround in our lives in the name of Jesus. Let there be a shift, O God. Let there be a turnaround, O God. Let our story change, O God. In the name of Jesus. In our marriages, O God. In our finances, O God. In our businesses, O God. In our ministries, O God. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus, you are the reward of them that diligently seek you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we believe in your word, redeem my name, and to you, to Lord, yes, your word.